Greetings to everybody that's here this morning. We return this morning to Psalm 8 that we began several months ago, and we looked at the first three verses at that Sunday. It was July 29th, actually, and today we'll wrap up the second portion of this psalm. This is what is called a messianic psalm because it reveals to us some details about the ministry of Jesus Christ. But when we began this several months ago, I entitled it the Psalm of the Astronomer because it tells us a lot about the world and the universe around us. And so let's read this psalm together. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and nursing infants you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Because you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, and even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the seas that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And so as I mentioned earlier, and if you recall, just several points from when we first began this psalm, it has references to Jesus Christ here, not just to man, not just to David, who wrote the psalm. Jesus Christ in the New Testament is called the second Adam. Much of the ministry of Jesus Christ was to counter what had happened to the first Adam when he fell into sin. Through the first Adam, we all inherit a sin nature, are sinners. And unless we are born again, we die sinners and are eternally separated from God in eternity. Through the second Adam, he came to give us life. He lived a sinless life, a holy life, and he gave his life on a cross, what we will celebrate today at the Lord's table. And so Scripture calls Jesus Christ the second Adam. In the Old Testament, to the nation of Israel, Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And so we call this the Psalm of the Messiah, or Psalm of the Astronomer. As I mentioned, just recall, we can look at the universe in which we live through a telescope and see to the far reaches of the universe. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. So you extrapolate that, and my calculator doesn't go that far, but I'm told that's over 3 trillion miles that light travels in one year. And yet there are stars out in the universe that are several billion light years away from us in distance. And our text tells us, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The name of the Lord and the beauty of the Lord fills the world, the earth we live in. But beyond this tiny little planet, in God's eyes, to us, the planet that seems so big, beyond this, it says that God has set or established or planted his glory beyond the heavens. The heavens describes the starry universe I just described, billions of miles away if we calculate it in light years. And beyond all that, somewhere out there, beyond our universe, lives God. And God's glory and God's name is above all of that. And it is an excellent name. Today, of course, God's name is not honored. It's not glorified. But it will be as we come to verse 9. Because that will be at the end of time when Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the earth when he comes back. We see the original creation. We see the original glory in the heavens. That verse 2 says that little children, the animal world, seems to praise and glorify God for the things that God has done in creation. Originally, the creation of God was the most glorious creation. The Garden of Eden was the best environment that man could live in. Today, when people do evil, the end up in front of a judge, oftentimes the lawyers blame the bad environment that these kids grew up in and said they can't help but do evil. Well, Adam lived in the best environment the man could ever live in, and that did not stop him from sinning and rejecting God and rebelling against God. And so the unseen characteristics of God are found as we look through a telescope into the far reaches of the universe. But we also see God through a microscope. When you examine the microscopic world that we live in, you can take a drop of your blood or one of your cells and you can see amazing things through the microscope. That is the glory of the handiwork, verse 3, of God. It says it's the work of your fingers. And man, verse 6, has been given the authority to be ruler and in authority over all the things that God created here on earth. Although because of sin, because Adam and Eve fell into sin and they were told to leave the beautiful garden that they lived in, and nature changed and an animal kingdom changed and the plant life changed on earth, and you go out and you plant a garden and what grows? You grow a bunch of weeds. You go out and you look at the things that God has made. Man does not have authority over animals. Dogs bark at you. They'll bite you if you come close to them. You get close to a lion? No, unless you work in the zoo maybe, but the animal and the plant kingdom has been destroyed because man lost the dominion, at least partially, over all of this. And yet, our text asks the question, the million-dollar question about who are we and what are we? If you add up all the chemicals that our bodies are made out of, and inflation keeps adding to the value of the chemicals we are made out of, even the trace elements and the minerals we have in our body. There's a little bit of copper and zinc in your bodies and a lot of carbon, a lot of other things. And they say we're worth somewhere between $4.50 and $5 for you take all of the chemicals that our body is made up of. And Scripture asks us, what are we worth? What is man that God would pay any kind of attention to man? Or to visit us, that verse says. Yes, God has visited men on earth. Even after we sinned, after we became the enemies of God, after we became rebels against God. What is man? Well, when you read Isaiah chapter 40, it calls men grass, or like grass. It grows in the morning and in the evening it fades away like a flower. In James that we're going through, James calls men or our life to be a vapor. Vapor is what we exhale after we've utilized the oxygen and the things that we breathe in. Psalm 62:9 says that if we would take the vapor of man and put it on a scale, it's no weight there, no gravitas. Isaiah calls us clay in the potter's hands, in God's hands. So the Scriptures refer to man in many different ways. But the question remains, what is the value of man that God would pay attention to us? And Jesus, talking to the rich man, says, you are a fool. He says, you can gain all the riches in the world, and if you lose your eternal life, or if you don't have eternal life in our context today, then your life is worth nothing. Your life, your eternal life, your soul is more precious and more costly to God than all the wealth in the universe that God created. If we take all of the planets and everything that exists and give it a monetary value, it's worth more than the $5 that our bodies are worth in a chemical sense. Isn't that an awesome thought that we were that precious to God? That before the creation of the world, before Adam and Eve, God knowing we would fall into sin, God determined, God set up a plan through which He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to redeem us of our sins. And in that sense, Jesus Christ is the Messiah of this verse. When God created the universe, there were certain beings that were created, and among them were the angels. And we don't have time to get into this in detail today, but as far as a form or a type of creation, man is a lower form biologically and in other ways than the angels. The angels are a higher form of creation than man is. And yet, when God created the garden and when God created the world, He placed the lowest of His creation, intellectual creation, man. He didn't place angels in charge of the garden. He placed a man in charge of the garden. And verses 6 and 7, you have given to man dominion over the works of your hands. God entrusted what His hands created to man to have dominion and rule over it. And authority, that is delegated authority that God has given to us. And because of Adam's sin, Adam lost the full capacity to do that. And yet, Scripture says here that in the end, this authority will be restored. How can we understand it? We can only understand it through the concept of Jesus Christ, who became a man. Turn to Philippians for just a moment, chapter 2, and let's read the incarnation, or about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, in other words, being God Himself, did not consider it robbery to make Himself equal with God, but instead made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, God has highly exalted Him, has given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Jesus left His glory in heaven. He became a man. And in taking on the flesh of man for those short 33 years that Jesus lived on earth, Jesus, as a man, took on a form that was lower and more humble than the form of even an angel that was still a created being. Jesus Christ, the Creator, took on a form that was lower than one of the forms of His creations. Why? Number one, to redeem us of our sins on the cross. But secondly, you remember our long multi-year study through the Epistle of Ephesians in chapter 1. And Paul repeats many times the phrase and the idea that we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Paul repeats that idea in Romans. He says that we have died to sin and have been raised in and with Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about the same idea. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is dead. Our life is useless. There is no eternity. But thank God, praise God, that Jesus did rise from the dead. And symbolically, He was the first one to ever rise from the dead. Literally and symbolically for us, we are now, we have the hope of eternal life, that even if we die, Jesus says, we will rise with Him, and those that are alive when He comes, our bodies will be changed, and we will meet Him and forever be with Him. And so the intent of God and the plan of God before the creation of the world, before the majesty of the universe that He created, before He even gave man this authority to dominate and rule over the animal kingdom. Before man lost it, it was the plan of God to restore us as human beings to that position. And you say, well, how can we attain that? Well, Scripture teaches us that to Jesus Christ, God has given all things, and all things exist in Him and through Him. And He is the head of all things, including His church. And who makes up the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ? That's all of us smiling here today. We are in Christ, and we are part of His body, and part of when Jesus comes to earth in glory, and His feet touch down on the Mount of Olives, Jesus will rule over the world. And Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 says that we being in Christ, we will rule or we will reign with Him over the world at that time. There will be nations, there will be peoples on earth that will be subject to Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom. And because we are in Christ and we will reign with Him and we are a part of Him, we will reign with Him, and this dominion that God promised originally to man and gave to man that man lost will be restored because of the Messiahship and the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And all of that simply because Jesus humbled Himself, became like we are, except for our sin, and because of that was able to go to the cross and offer Himself to the Heavenly Father as a substitutionary sacrifice so that His blood that He shed could cleanse us from our sin, and that in Him that we could be raised up to live a new and a holy and a sanctified life for the glory of God, so that when Christ returns, we could be part of His kingdom and be part of those that rule and reign with Him over the kingdom that He establishes. And so go home and read the psalm some more and marvel at the depths that God reveals to us about Himself. Amen.